All right, we'll start with Psalms
chapter 40. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. She's a little Pentecostal. Amen.
She speaks in tongues.
I guarantee she does.
Jabba, jabba, jabba.
Did you get that? Jabba, jabba, jabba. McVeigh. Apple juice. I'm interpreting. Psalms chapter 40. Let's see what the Bible says. We're going to stay on that same thought, unless the Lord. Psalms 40 says this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Church, I want you to understand. Well, let's go on. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and they have put a new song in my mouth. Here it is, even praise unto our God. That's that soul that is not silent. Amen. It's what the Lord's done. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We still thinking about unless the Lord. You seeing how the word of God, how what God's done for us. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. He comes in the volume of the book. It's the word of God. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. And it goes on. I wanted to say that. Well, I'm going to read some more. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy love and kindness, thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy love and kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. And that's what he'll do. The word of God, it'll help you. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Boy, he had some problems, didn't he? Therefore, my heart faileth. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them not be ashamed and let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that to say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, that I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Ain't that good? I read that so I can say this. God don't do that one time and stop. God doesn't do Psalms 40 one time and stop when you get saved. When you get saved, God will perform Psalms chapter 40 until the day you die. The stuff that David's talking about in there, how the Lord helps him, it wasn't just a one-time deal. It wasn't at salvation. Listen, I waited patiently on the Lord and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He don't just do that when you get saved. God will do that every day. He'll incline unto you on a daily basis. He'll hear you regularly. Then he said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He don't just do that when you get saved.
Sometimes your troubles and your afflictions will bury you in a deep hole, but God will bring you out of that horrible pit. That pit of affliction, that pit of trouble, not just a pit of sin. Yeah, He does that at the new birth. He'll bring you out of a pit of sin. But in a Christian life, He'll bring you out of a pit of affliction. He'll bring you out of the pits of troubles and the pits of problems. And that's why I say Psalms chapter 40 ain't a salvation and done type chapter. It's an everyday. It's a lifelong chapter. God does His stuff on a regular basis. Put a new song. Put a new song, hallelujah, in your mouth. He don't just do that at salvation. God, thank God, in the midst of your fiery trials will put a song in your mouth. That's right. That's why the psalmist said that his soul was not in silence. Amen. Because even in the midst of that slimy pit of affliction, God had put a song in his mouth, even praises unto his Lord. Ain't that good? That's good, man. All right, Psalms 124. Let's go there. Psalms 124. I'm trying to move on. I won't try to bog down anywhere. If I do, I do. Psalms 124. Now, Psalms 124 opens up with just another way of saying, unless the Lord. Look at what David said. I could have titled this thought, this right here today, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Here's what they said, unless the Lord was on our side when men rose up against, then they have swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who have not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. I've heard a little saying before, and I've even said it myself. It's not important that God's on your side. What's important is you on God's side. But according to the Word of God, God said it is important that He's on your side. I mean, if it wasn't for the Lord who was on our side, I'm telling you, we would all be doomed. Sure. God is pulling for you. I said, God is pulling for you. God is there for you. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And Joe Parsons said, they asked a little boy one time, boy, do you know what a lie is? He said, that boy said, yes, it's an abomination unto God and a very present help in the time of need. Yes, sir, it's an abomination to God and a very present help in the time of need. So, amen, God is a very present help, amen. And that ain't no lie, I guarantee you. But look one more time at verses 7 and 8. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. May I remind you that what that old songwriter said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Isn't that a blessing? As I read through Psalms 100, chapter 24, I got to thinking the other day, Zach, about all the people in this congregation. Everybody in here has lost something dear to them. Everybody in here has lost something that was dear to them. Some of you have lost mamas, and some of you have lost daddies. Some of you have lost grandparents that you cared about. Some of you have lost maybe brothers or sisters, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a cousin. Maybe just a friend. But everybody has suffered losses in our life. So that junk hurts, buddy. It sure does. It hurts. Some people's lost both moms and dads. Sure, and it hurts. Some people have even lost children.
There's some people that's had miscarriages and, I mean, just everything that you can think of, son. I'm talking about people have suffered loss. David's talking about some of this stuff. And all I'm trying to say that in some shape, form, or fashion, some shape or another, we've all been afflicted from time to time. And in the midst of it, we did not know how in the world we would ever make it through. And I'm sure there was times in our life when we felt like, man, it's over. So it's over. And there's times in our life when we can't see a spark of light or a ray of light or any sunshine. It just, man, it just seems like that cloud of gloom sets in on you, and it seems like everything is over, man. Just, you hit the bottom. But David said, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. I like that. I do like it. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. Church, you hear me and you hear me well. It's God that's brought us this far. It's God. We didn't get ourselves here. Our good fortune didn't get us here. Our good luck didn't get us here. God got us here. We're here because of the grace of God. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. That's all. Listen to Psalms chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. Psalms 27, this is what Jesus said. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I'd have fainted myself. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Then in Psalms 116, 8 through 10, he said, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. How about that? I was greatly afflicted. That's your Lord and Savior. Listen to 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking who it may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, listen, same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, I like that, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You understand that what you're going through, the stuff that you go through, what he said, everybody goes through. It's amazing. Every once in a while, you'll run across somebody that thinks they've been through something that nobody else has been through. They think they've suffered like nobody else has suffered. Hey, listen, everybody, that's what he just said. Everybody goes through these same afflictions. Everybody has to deal with the same stuff. Yours might be one affliction and theirs might be another, but nonetheless, they're still afflictions and they afflict you the same way. One affliction may not trouble one person like it does another, but nonetheless, they're still afflicted. It's amazing that people, boy, I tell you, I've been through, and they think because they've been through this that they're super spiritual or more spiritual than everybody. And let me tell you something, what the Bible said. Here's what your Bible said. Everybody goes through these afflictions. Right. I'm going to read it to you one more time, verse number 9. He said, where's it at? All right, whom resist steadfast in the faith, talking about the devil, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, hey, you're not alone. Everybody's going through this junk. You know what I say, Zach? Everybody in this congregation has lost a loved one. Everybody's been afflicted with loss. Everybody's been afflicted with that pain. Everybody knows what it's like to lose a loved one, lose somebody that you love. Everybody knows that. Some people knows what it's like to lose a baby. Some people knows. Let me tell you something, you're not alone. There's a God in heaven that knows exactly what we're going through. Man, he said if we'll just cast our cares on him, why? Because he cares for us.
He said that there's a reason why, listen to me, and I'm trying to hurry, but there's a reason why God lets us be afflicted with losses in our life. There's a reason why God lets affliction come our way. Right. I want to mention it and try to in a hurry, but listen, folks, God may not undo. He may not undo what's been done. He can help you in your trouble. He can help you in your losses. But God ain't going to resurrect my daddy. My daddy ain't coming back. My daddy's dead. He's gone. God's going to heal my heart, and he has healed my, and he's helped me and touched me. And I tell you, God's done things for me through that affliction. And I'm healed, Zach. I'm fine with it. Yes, I still miss my daddy. You wouldn't believe the times I ride past my old Sides Mill Road, and I like to pull up in there and go listen to him tell me a lie. I love that. Go up there and take my boy, sit around the living room, let him chew the cuds, spin the yarn with someone. I've longed for that time to time. Drive by that road, boy, memories. I come down 158 and I pass by his road and memories start coming back to my mind. I miss him. Sure, and it hurts. God's helped me, but you know what? He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. We've suffered loss, and I tell you, man, that thing's just going to be that way. But God will help us in the midst of our afflictions. Sure he will. Sure he will. Tell you, it's tough, buddy. Steve, sitting here in these times where Otis is dead, and he's the baby in the family. He's the youngest of all the siblings my mama's got, you know, brothers and sisters. And probably one of the best and worst ones at the same time. You loved him and loved to hate him at the same time. But man, I'll tell you, he was good to me many a times, and we crossed grains sometimes, but Mom, I'll tell you, when he died, it hurt. And there's still times in my life where I get mad at that sucker for doing the stuff he did. Because he died prematurely, ladies and gentlemen. He should still be alive. I tell you what, bud, God will help you in the midst of that stuff. Sure will. He'll help you. Lord have mercy. I think about the babies. I think about the babies that these mamas has lost. I think about it. I don't have the answer. You listen to me. I don't have the answer. And God can heal you and help you and grow you and do everything in the world. And when it's all said and done, your baby still ain't coming back. And I ain't saying that, man. I'm telling you, that's hard. Miss Holly's sitting here. She's lost. Miss Tanya's sitting here. She's lost. I mean, they've lost children. Know what it's like. They know what it's like. And every time I hear about a woman that's lost a baby, and it hurts, it does. And I don't understand it. I don't know what that feels like. But you know what I think, Zach? That sucker will never have to deal with no dope. I think, man, that baby won't never have to face dope. That baby won't never have to wake up in its own vomit. That baby will never have to suffer. That baby will never have to struggle with drugs. That baby will never lose its purity. Wouldn't that be something? That baby's going to never lose its purity. It's going to be holy. Isn't that something? I think about stuff like that. I think about that baby will never have to battle booze. Hey, what she is? Man, with all the mess that's going on in the world today, I think about that baby. It will never have to face being molested. You know how many kids are being molested in America today? That baby won't never have to deal with that. On top of all of it, I get to thinking about, man, that baby gets to be with Jesus. That baby's sitting up there in heaven. It's in the arms of the greatest babysitter there ever has been in the world or even out of this world. I mean, man, what a life. I mean, I know that's tough. But what I'm trying to say is if these mamas, that's an affliction. That's a hard thing. That's tough on these women. But if them women would go over and sit at the feet of Jesus and get in that book, God can put something in your heart. Because I promise you, one of these days you're going to hear of another woman, a friend, a church member, a loved one that's going to lose the same baby. And that thing that God put into your heart, you don't have to be loud like me, but you can scoot up beside of them and you can tell them what Jesus told you. Sure.
Something I tell you, there's a lot of people walks through our tragedies. There's a lot of people walks through our troubles. There's a lot of people that walks in our afflictions. And here's, they make comments and they make suggestions and they give their opinions. But I tell you, that person that was been through it themselves and sent at the feet of Jesus and got a word from the Lord. I tell you, they don't have to say a whole lot, but if they'll just tell you what Jesus told them and help them through, son, that'll help you. You can help somebody that goes through that stuff. I'm telling you, it's amazing, friend. Sure.
I can say stuff to people that's lost children all till I die, son, but it just ain't, it ain't in there. But another mama that's lost one that's been with Jesus and God has healed her heart and poured that balm of Gilead in, she can share that with somebody else. You see what I'm saying? Man, I'm telling you, our brothers, look, we all go through this stuff. And we ought to be able to help each other when we go through these afflictions. And the Lord wants us to. And if you look at verse number 10 of that verse, he's talking about the God of all grace.
I thought about it, you know, I don't know much about these other gods and I don't like any of them. I think they're all a bunch of jack leg idiots. But if you can find anything about Muhammad, you might can muster this up about Muhammad. I don't know. Well, Muhammad was a graceful man. Muhammad was graceful. And I don't know much about Gandhi, the little weirdo ball-headed freak, but I would imagine somebody can maybe in their twisted way say, you know, Gandhi was graceful. And I don't know how they do it, but maybe these Muslims could some way just look at Allah and go, well, Allah is graceful. But I'm not talking about being graceful, Zach. I'm talking about the God of all grace, not some grace. He's the God of all grace. Whatever your affliction may be, there's grace for that affliction. Muhammad can't offer that. Allah can't offer it. Buddha can't offer it. A little fat pot belly punk. He can't offer that. Only Jesus can offer that. For God, heaven's sakes, who wants a God that's pot bellied and bald headed and sits with his legs crossed on a Chinese counter? Who wants that? Bunch of people? Man, I'd find me one on GQ magazine before I found one over on Potbelly Ballheaded Guy over on, you know what I'm saying? I just, Lord have mercy, find you a God, man. That's what Joshua told him. Well, it's a crazy people. This verse is not talking about grace, but it's talking about the God of all grace. Let me ask you something. If you've never suffered, if you've never been afflicted, if you've never been in that horrible pit of affliction, how are you going to help somebody else that is? Because didn't your Bible just say that we all go through these same afflictions? Ain't that what it, how in the name of God you expect to be able to help somebody else? Don't you want to help somebody? Ain't you got any kind of decent character about you at all? That word come to my mind. Let me bring this up to you. Because the Lord has just stuck this on me this week, and he stuck it on me for a reason. Steve, a lot of times people can come to church, and we've been to church all of our life, and I've been to church when I was a young man, and man, I'd go to church and get under conviction, and there was times in my life, Zach, where things was wrong, and man, I would try to get that stuff right, and man, I would determine in my heart, and I was going to do right. I was going to walk right. And Miss Holly, I was sincere about that. I was serious as I could be. I was as serious as a heart attack, man. I wanted to do right. You can be sincere about doing right, church. You can be sincere about that all you want to. When wrong is standing in your face, what it's going to come down to is, do you have the character to do right? Oh, you can talk about it all you want. You can talk about I'm doing right. But I'm telling you what, time will tell, not your mouth. Time will tell, do you have the character to stand in the face of your adversity? Do you have character? Character, son, that God builds. Do you have it to stand in the midst of sin? Can you take your afflictions and your troubles and trials and your problems and look them in the eyes and come out the other side with that joy coming up out of your soul, huh? Or are you going to come out the other side silent? Comes down to some character. Letting God build character. There's been a many a time, Steve, that I have said that I'm going to do right. I'm going to do this. Zach, I collapsed. I collapsed. I fell. And I felt like a dog when I did it. Oh, God, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to stand. You know why I didn't stand? I didn't have a God-given character. I hadn't let him build that character in me. Right.
People fall because they got no character. They cave in because they got no character. Need that character, friend. And I'm going to tell you, you can't tell in a week or two. It's going to take some time. Time will discover that. I can promise you this. And through many sufferings, God's given me a heart for others. I ain't suffered a whole lot. I shouldn't have said that. But through the little bit of suffering that I've been through, God has given me a heart for other people. I'm telling you, it bothers me to see other people suffer. I don't like to see kids suffer. I don't like to see children hurt. I don't like to see husbands lose their families. I don't like to see wives get cheated on. I don't like to see stuff. I don't like it. It hurts, man. And I tell you what caused that, Zach, is because I've been afflicted myself, son. And through my afflictions, I learned how to have compassion on other people. Hey, I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. And my brother made a statement like this, and I was so proud of it. I'm not proud when my enemies fall. I'm not proud when my enemies fall. Oh, every once in a while, pride to get up and you kind of want to like it. I'm just being honest with you. Every once in a while, pride to get up in your heart and you're just kind of glad that your enemies fell. But I'm going to tell you, that God inside of me, my heart breaks when even my enemies fall.
Man, I tell you, I want to see people give their heart and life right with God.
Hey, listen, if that family ain't living for God, I still don't want to see them slip up. If that man's done me wrong, Zach,
if that man's cussed me, if that man's lied on me, if that man's hurt me, I still don't want to see his home fall apart.
Right. I want to see that family get in there with God, man, and get that thing right. You say, what is that? I'm just telling you, God lets us be afflicted.
So we sometimes can learn to have compassion on others.
That's right. I want you to see the other side of that affliction. How many of you women have lost a child? Hey, listen, when you lost a child, maybe you had a miscarriage, and I ain't trying to bring up old past feelings. I'm just trying to help you understand and see through some of this affliction. How many of you has ever been through that? And then you hear about another woman, and boy, oh, in your heart, you feel that compassion for them. Sure. Sure. God will help you help them if you'll let God help you. If you will let God help you, then God can help others through you. That's right.
Why does God do this? We just read it. He said he was going to establish you. That's why he lets it come. So you can be established. So that you can be strengthened. So that you can be settled. That's why God lets that affliction come. That's why problems come in our life. God's in control of it. He lets this stuff happen. God's not killing our babies. He did allow it to die. But he'll turn that thing around for your good if you'll let him. That's right. You'll see that baby sitting up there holding Jesus' hand. Hallelujah. If you can, oh, and the Lord will let you see that youngin' up there in heaven just having the time of its life.
God will help you go on, I promise you. He'll help you with that. What does that word established mean? It means to be stable. The Bible said a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Nobody likes that. What do you women want in a man? What do you women want in a man? You want some security, don't you? You don't have to worry and fret and do all that. You like a man that's kind of stable. And you like that stability, that security in your home. Sure. And that's a godly thing. You ought to want that. That's good. God put that in you. I'll tell you what God wants. He wants us to be stable in him. Amen. As much as he wants our wives to be stable in their husband's son, he wants the children of God to be stable in the Lord. He don't want us wavering back and forth. He don't want us to be up one day and down the next. He don't want us just being carried about with every wind of doctrine. God wants us to be stable in him. Yeah. unmovable, faithful, fastened to Him, not double-minded. God wants us to be able to remain standing. He wants us to stand in this evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's what God wants it. And that's what these afflictions will do. These afflictions will make, put a backbone in you. Amen. Sure. These afflictions will build character in you. They'll give you something, praise God, to stand on. That's right. They'll build a foundation underneath you. We just sometimes don't understand what the affliction is for. It's there to stabilize you, Zach. Then he said it's going to strengthen us. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. How about that? David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And we know how David went astray. We know how he wandered. But I tell you one thing, friend. God afflicted him afterwards. God tightened his tail up. Sure he did. He strengthened David. God allows us to be afflicted to make a strong people. God is sick and tired of a bunch of weaklings caving in, falling out, compromising, going every which old way, doing every stinking sorry thing, claiming the name of Jesus Christ. Bless God, we spread our legs and drink more and take more and dip more, smoke more, cuss more, talk more than anything in the world. And God said, I'm sick of it. I want some people that's strong enough to stand. You say you're a Christian, then praise the Lord, be a Christian. I want my people to be a strong people. I don't want this world to be able to knock you around and knock you off what you believe. Just stand strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right, in the power of His might. Lord God. So the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelation, it was given me a thorn in the flesh. That's affliction, church. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Hey, I got news for you. Listen, God sent a messenger of Satan to beat Paul's tail. He bruised him. He buffeted him. He humbled. Hey, he afflicted Paul. God allowed that in Paul's life. Why? Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Son, that's a strong Christian. You hear me? Now, y'all have heard me say it. I tell you, I love Michael sitting in there at the house and getting me a good old root beer and some vanilla ice cream and making me a good vanilla root beer float. I love it. I take pleasure in that. Son, I can give me a good old Snickers bar. I take pleasure in candy. Paul said, I'm going to tell you what I take pleasure in. I take pleasure in my infirmities. I take pleasure in the fact that my life's in jeopardy every day. I take pleasure that they're trying to kill me. I take pleasure that I'm being persecuted. Paul said, I take pleasure they're going to take me and throw me in a prison somewhere. I take pleasure in that. That's where I find my rest. That's where I find my strength at. Thank God. Church, I'm telling you, we need to learn how to appreciate the afflictions that God sends our way. They're for us. They're for us. And I tell you what, we can say, unless the Lord been on our side, we'd surely fall. But we got the Lord on our side. If you're doing the will of God, if you're walking in that word, God's on your side. If you're doing what this book says, God is on your side. God will take sides with you, you stay in that book. The devil comes up against you, whose side do you think God's going to take? You're walking in that word. He's going to take your side. Your enemies come up against you and you walking in the will of God. You're obeying that word. Whose side do you think God's going to take? He's going to take your side. Sure. Man, he lets this stuff come our way. Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, boy, when these afflictions come and I'm broke down, when I ain't got the strength in Paul's flesh to stand, thank
God, I have to stand in Him, and that's when I'm strong. Man. Hey, church, when we're broke, that's when we're the best. That's right. Then he said it's going to settle you. That word settles just simply means that it's a final resting place. It's going to just a, God's trying to get you in a place where he knows you're not being carried about with every old wind of doctrine. I think there's some people in this congregation that ain't about to change. Believe that. I believe there's some people up in here that ain't going to move. I think you're going to be there for the long. I just do. I think God's established that in your life. He settled you. The settling thing. I thought about it, Steve, to try to get it across. We can demonstrate this in our houses. I've been in them houses before, and everybody's heard it, where you get in there and you hear all them creaks and pops and cracks and all that noises. Man, you get in that house, and my wife's got them imaginary boogie. You know how many stinking imaginary boogie men I've chased around with a 357 in the middle of the night like a retard? I'm out there chasing a ghost around with a gun. Something that she made up. And, did you hear that? And I go, no, baby, I was asleep till you opened your mouth. And there's somebody outside. They tried to, and I'm like, what, did they give you a warning? You know, they knock on the window. I mean, what did they do? I mean, so, you know, if I was going to get any sleep, Michael, I knew I had to get up and look like an idiot walking around the house with a gun and chase this little imaginary burglar. We've had thousands of them. Michael, you ever had any of them? Well, somebody's outside. Well, bless God, that's good. As long as they ain't inside, we do not. Just leave them out there, baby. We're in here, they're out there. Leave them alone. Lord have mercy. Help me, Jesus. This guy's so bad, and I've got so effeminate, I even heard a couple of them myself. Yeah, I heard that. Lord. Hey, my boys has come in the house the night before, and they come in the door. Dad, it's me. It's me, Dad. I'm telling you, I had a gun to Jacob's head one night. He learned. Lord have mercy. Heard somebody come in my house, son. I had that gun on, boy. I was ready. Well, you know, them old houses, they pop and crack and squeak and make all kind of noises. And I've been in houses working, Zach, over at Susan Ivy's. And, man, that place is big. And I was in there all by myself, and I heard noises. And I mean, man, these devils up in here. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. But I had good reason for thinking that, didn't I? And, I mean, they had seance stuff written on the walls up in the attic. And I'm like, man, it was spooky. Looked like they've been having devil worshiping services. And you get up in there and you get to hearing stuff. And for some reason, Chester drawers sliding across the floor. And I made that up, but it sounded good. And what is that? The house is getting settled. The house is settling. That popping, cracking. They said it takes 20 years. It can take up to 20 years for them houses to settle. You know what them things are? If you look out there once in a while, Miss Holly, you'll see some of them older houses settled. They got that plaster on the wall. You'll see them cracks. And then weak spots. Them weak spots start cracking, and it shows the stress. What is that? That's that affliction. A house is coming underneath that affliction, and man, I'm telling you, it's just, you start to see the stress mark, and we have those same stress marks in our life through the afflictions that we face. Oh, we look good out here, but I'm telling you, down on the inside, there's some hurt, there's some pain, there's some scars, there's some baggage, Zach, that we have to carry around. I'm telling you, church, that old house, it takes 20, but finally, after a while, that thing settles and all the scars are there. And here we are 20 years later in Jesus Christ. We got the stress marks in our life. We got the scars. We got the pains. All them afflictions has left their mark on us. But thank God, here we are now. And we're settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ain't going nowhere. Jesus has got us where we ought to be, and ultimately he's trying to bring us into the image of his son, Jesus. And all that settling just works me and you out of us and works him into us.
And sometimes him getting rid of me and you causes weak spots and we begin to crack. Thank God Jesus can fill in the cracks. I'm so glad for that. You know what the struggles do in our life? They expose the weak spots. Psalms 119:92 says this. And I'm done. I'm wrapping it up. Psalms 119:92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I've seen people go through things and it's made them cuss. I've seen people go through things and it's made them bitter. And I've seen people go through things and it's made them fall out of church. Right? We've seen this stuff, right? I've seen people even get mad and hold grudges against God. Have you seen that? I've seen that. I've seen people give that, why did God? Let me tell you what I found out in my Bible. Listen real quick, and I don't want to get bogged down on this. The Bible says the thief came not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more. But God didn't come to kill you, baby. He came to give you life. The wages of sin is death, ladies and gentlemen. All this death junk around us, it's just the wages of sin. That's what the wages of sin are. Things die. People die. Stuff dies because of sin in this old world. God came and Jesus came that we might have life. He came to destroy the works of Satan. Oh yeah, we're going to still die in this body of flesh. But he came to give us an eternal life in our spirit. Yeah. Psalms 192 once again says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. The three things I wanted you to see out of this, number one was, unless the Lord's your help, we're all doomed. Number two, unless I believe. He said, the Lord said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. I'm going to tell you, you got to believe, church. You got to believe. Zach talked about it this morning, faith cometh by hearing. I think he was praying, faith cometh by hearing. I'm going to tell you how a lost person can increase their faith through the Word of God. A saved person increases their faith through the Word of God. And then number three, unless I love His law, I tell you, it's the Word of God. It's our faith in Him. And it's Him just doing what He does for us. So, church, it's through our affliction that God makes us what He wants us to be. You hear me? It's through our affliction that He molds us and makes us into Jesus Christ. He wants us to be like Him. He's got to present us as a holy church, a holy bride, a holy wife. He's trying to bring us in the image of His dear Son. You just keep this in mind, and I'm going to give you this. And that last verse, this is the verse I mentioned earlier I wanted to give you. In Psalms 18:29, David said this, for by thee have I run through a troop. Great verse. He said, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I want you to remember this right here. I don't care what it is you're going through. I don't care what it is you're facing. I don't care what affliction is in your life. I don't care what trouble you're bogged down with, how many problems you got. When David said that I was going to run through the troops, he was trying to simply say this. I don't care what's out there in front of you, God will help you go through it. David said, I don't care how big it gets, God will help you get over it. Whatever your affliction is, whatever your pain is, whatever your trouble is, whatever your problems are, God will help you through them, and God will help you get over them. Amen. That's what that verse is all about. Getting through your afflictions. Getting over your problems. Getting over that junk. Hey, what's that little old saying? Just get over it. Get over it. Get over it. What God wants to do. Just a reminder to God to get you through your problems and God to get you over your problems. Ain't that a blessing? All right. Steve, if you will, close us in prayer.